Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm here to kick off recaps for The Traitors US Season 2, and I'm so happy this guy agreed to come on and talk about it with me. He knows some of these players pretty well. He's played Survivor 4 times, two of which, I think, right? Two of which were with Sandra and Parv,
yeah.
Which we will talk about.
That's interesting, yeah. I played with each of them twice.
So, yeah, I'd like to welcome the winner of Survivor Blood versus Water, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Boom. Doing great. Yeah, always a pleasure. I haven't really talked to you in like a year and a half, 2 years since the Challenge United States of America season one.
Wasn't that fun?
That was fun.
That was one of my favorite interviews, though.
Was it?
No, I've been good. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was one of my favorite interviews, too.
Oh, thanks, Tyson. Appreciate it.
Well, and, but now you're doing something different, right?
Yeah, I have a new job. I'm not writing as much in my job, so I still wanted this creative outlet to talk about reality TV, so that's why I did the podcast.
Okay, so this is your own thing.
My own thing, completely, yep.
Okay.
So, still getting there, yeah. Wow.
Every big podcast starts with a small podcast.
That's true, and right now it's small, but hopefully, you know, we'll see.
I saw you had a lot of Big Brother winners on there.
Yeah, I think Big Brother's been always been my beat because I've covered it for many years. So, like, that's kind of like where I am. And that's also why it's easy for me to cover the Traitors, right? Because we have two Big Brother people. So. Yeah,
two Big Brother people who are.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
I mean, Dan, right? Dan? So forgettable and like the most boring name.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Like, I'm sure he was strategic. Like, I hear that all the time. This guy was a mastermind of Big Brother. I mean.
You're killing me right now, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's great. But, like, TV-wise, like, put someone on there that's, like, exciting or
bubbly
or interesting. Like, an interesting person, at least. Like, that's a lot of casting right now is going for interesting.
True. He is interesting, but I get what you're saying.
In like what capacity? Because I watched 3 episodes of this thing.
It was a rough 3 episodes for him.
Is he better like on Big Brother? Like what's his backstory? Like why is he so interesting that I'm not seeing?
I think you're right. He wasn't the most compelling TV here. I think he's a little more playful on Big Brother. I think he has more of a reputation. So he kind of leans into it where I think he went in a little scared in this one and wanted to take a seat back seat, but obviously we'll talk about it, but it's not working for him super well.
Right now. I mean, no shade, I'm just like and I don't watch Big Brother really that much, but I think these games, like in playing the Challenge USA and then seeing that what the Challenge game is versus what Survivor is versus the Big Brother players and then watching the Challenge people here, I have to say that I think that Survivor is probably the best preparation for any of the other games.
I can't disagree. I don't know because I'm not, you know, but I'm assuming you would know. So,
I mean, you look at these Challenge people, the Challenge generally is bullying. If you can get a group and bully everybody else into not putting you into elimination, you're good. And you have to be physically imposing or attached to people that are physically imposing. And then you have to alpha your way around the house. That's what I did on the Challenge USA. Easy, easy, easy game.
True.
Unless you cannot play that alpha role. So like people who are like, oh, the challenge isn't easy. Yeah, because you can't play the alpha role. But if you can play the alpha role, it's not that hard.
Wow.
And
that is perfectly said.
And these guys here, the Traitors, is only social, purely social. And so you get these guys like Bananas and CT and even Trishel who are like, we'll just bully our way into something. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. And now you see three episodes in, like they are like deer in headlights. They didn't realize that like there's some social finesse that without an elimination round, you have to finesse your way socially a lot more than you would in the challenge house when you just have to like almost headbutt someone in rage.
So true. Okay. So going back real quick, did you watch season one of The Traitors? Like how familiar were you?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I watched it. Okay. Ceri's gone first, dude. The second she giggles, she's fucking out. I don't know why they like, the second she's like laughs, you got to get her out. Like she's too comfortable. Something's going on. And that's the other thing with these, with the traitors is they just are like, let's put like one of the most conniving people in as a traitor. Like if I'm familiar with reality TV at all, you just pick off the most conniving ones one by one. And you'll eventually hit a traitor within like three. Within three tries, you'll hit a traitor if you take the most conniving people in the house by reputation. You'll automatically get a traitor after maximum three shots.
I mean, let's just dive into it then, because you're kind of hitting points that I want to touch on. One is that even the best move as a faithful to get rid of a traitor, or do you keep them around until the end? Like maybe you identify them. I don't know.
If you can, yeah, but you have to identify them. And yeah. I think they're on to Dan right now. So like now what do you do? If you've already identified them, sure, then you can keep them around to the end because then the end game's sealed for you, right? But the problem is if they know that you're on to them, then they kill you.
Yep.
So that's the balance. And so I think I don't think you can afford to keep them in there, especially if you're savvy and are getting reads and they know you're getting reads. That's what's tricky.
Yeah. I do want to, before we get into the traders, we will talk about them. Mm-hmm. You obviously, I'm sure you're very close with Parvati. Like you had to know that she was playing, I'm assuming. No.
Yeah. Yes. I knew Parv was playing.
Did you give her any advice? Did she talk to Ceri? Do you know anything about her pregame situation?
I didn't know much about her pregame situation, except for that she didn't know really who else was going on the show.
Okay.
So I don't think she knew Sandra was going to be there. And so I know that. I know she said she was going on the Traitors and she was excited, but she was trying to figure out who else was going to be there. And honestly, like I look at this game, I'm like, could you pregame your way to a victory? Like, let's say you and I, Sharon, we find out we're on the traitors together. Mm-hmm. Could we make a pact where it's like, if one of us is a traitor, we signal to the other one that we're a traitor somehow. Yeah. And then you just pretend like you're eating everything I'm selling. Get us to the end. We split the money. Is that a thing that could happen?
Tyson, you're jumping ahead, but I love this line of thinking because I'm convinced this is like a theory I have. They did not show any real confessionals from Janelle about Dan or Sandra about Parv. And I'm convinced it's because they both know that they're traitors or they have an inkling. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be. That could definitely be.
They know their tells, right? Like they've played with them before. I don't know. Parv has a better poker face than Dan. I think I've seen Dan play many times. I don't know. I just can tell when he's kind of lying a little bit. And I feel like Janelle would know that. Whereas Parv, I think, is doing a really good job, but who knows? Maybe Sandra's on to her. I feel it's a little strange we're not getting confessionals from them.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, if you don't give a good confessional, though, they don't show it. So that could also be they show the best ones. That is interesting, though, that you bring that up. And honestly, you're right. Like Janelle did say, like, I would feel if Dan was, like, you know, not being straight with me. And so that easily could be, but like, again, also you're going into this, if I'm Parv and I'm not a traitor, I'm believing in my heart that Sandra is a traitor. I just am, and vice versa. Like if I'm Sandra, I'm not a traitor. There's a part of me that believes that Parv, that I'm looking extra at Parv. And the same is probably with Janelle and Dan. They have to be looking at each other and measuring Dan doesn't because he's comfortable. And that's where he got caught out, because if you're a trader, you know the entire game. Like the best thing you can do, future trader contestants, is play as much Mafia and Werewolf as you can.
Yep.
With the most aggressive, brilliant minds that you can find.
Yep. That's not a bad idea. But I'm also assuming, Tyson, if you're in this game, like, I'm sure Parv's also thinking, like, meta game, like, what would casting do? One of, you know, Big Brother Survivor is definitely a traitor, like you were saying.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Women versus men, how many?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the thing. It's like, I'm showing up traitor season one. There's no way Suri is not a traitor. Like, the, it's like within a half an hour, I'm like, she's got it. Like, she has to go. Like, that's like, it's insane to me. Like, was there were there people in the house that were familiar with Suri at all? I think there were.
There were fans, yeah, but that's the thing. They were fanboying, fangirling.
Yeah, that's tricky. If they're fanboy, fangirl, they have some blinders on. They just don't even like consider it. They're like, oh my gosh. I do like that it's all kind of all stars, but again, like, you're putting a lot of these people into a situation that they haven't been in before, like a cutthroat game. And even like what reality TV and these games were 20 years ago, most of them have morphed. The Challenge, not really. Like, it's just this alpha dog game, like, get a group of bullies and bully your way to the end. But, and I was one of the, I was a bully on the, like, I'm not saying calling people bullies on the Challenge USA. I was leading the bullies to the end.
Cause like, that was the way to win.
Cause that's the way to win. Like, I threatened people many times, like, put me in elimination. I will win my way back in, and I will only target you until you are gone. Like, that was like anybody who questioned getting rid of me. That was what I told them.
That's so true. That's what works over there.
So these other games, though, like, you look at early Survivor, even early Big Brother, I'm assuming, and it was a much kinder game. Like, you, Survivor, you got rewarded for being a good person at the end. And like, the people who were cutthroat and manipulative, that was kind of like a bad check mark against you. And now you get rewarded for that stuff and you're extra, extra cutthroat. And I think, like, I look at Parv and I watch her face while she's playing this game. I think it's more difficult for her to be cutthroat than it was 5 years ago, or all the games have become more cutthroat than she needed to be 5 years ago.
Maybe a mix of both.
It could be a combination of both, but I think there is, and it's like, man, I don't know. You get more comfortable in your life from being cutthroat, and then you don't have to be as cutthroat anymore. So there's probably a little bit of that too. It's like, I can be cutthroat, but I got a pretty good life. So like, we got some, you know, somebody over here who that's all they've got, living with their parents. The only way they can make money is like being a dancing monkey on one of these TV shows for twice a year. Like,
right.
do I need to take that away from, I mean, part of me wants to, but like, part of me is like, this is your thing. You got this. You got this, buddy.
Do you know, okay, so in terms of Sandra and Parv, it seems a little playful, but like low key serious. Is there real beef there, or was it just like some Instagram nonsense? That's like a joke.
I mean, I think that was Instagram nonsense a little bit. I don't think either one of them took it too seriously, but I also, they're not great friends.
Right. Of course like, not.
They're definitely different personalities and different, you know, energies and vibes. And so, yeah, I don't think there's beef. I don't think Parv thinks much about Sandra day to day. Sandra, I don't know. She might stew about Parv, and people, every time someone calls Parv the Queen of Survivor, Sandra might get upset. Like, she's probably, I am. It's like, it doesn't matter.
That scene though, like with Peppermint trying to like broker, like it was awkward. It was
It was fun. And if you don't know somebody, like, I showed up to the challenge with Ben and Sarah, who I did not want to see. I even told production before the game, I was like, oh shoot. Like a week before we left, I was like, oh no, Ben or Sarah is going to be there. And they were like, no, maybe not. Anti-vaxxers aren't going to be there. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
And then because we all had to get vaccinated. It was the time when everybody, and it was a requirement, but then everybody was like, we want that money. So they were like, you know, we
vaccine,
were,
whatever.
But yeah. So they were there and I saw them in the airport and it was like that awkward in Miami when I saw them, I was like, ugh. So I gave them both a hug, but I didn't mean it.
That's how I feel like it is with Parv and Sandra.
Yeah, that's how it is. But they also understand they're professionals. They understand like working together could benefit them. And why not give it a shot until it doesn't work? And that's, I mean, it was the same. Sarah and Ben, I was like, cleanish slate. I know who they are as people when their masks come off. And as long as I can balance that, and if they can be to work to my benefit, then I may as well like have a partnership with them. And I think that's where Sandra and Parv are.
Yep. Like, so far, three episodes. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we see Dan and Phaedra were the initial picks. Do you know if Parv wanted to be a traitor or a faithful?
She did not want to be a traitor.
Oh, interesting.
For me, to be in control of this game from the get-go and to have all the knowledge and information, you have to be a traitor.
Yep.
And so I think that that's... For most people who play these games that are familiar with these games of strategy, I think that's the most comfortable position to be in. But I think for these people that don't like lying, haven't had to lie in cutthroats on TV, they're probably more comfortable as a faithful.
Yep.
And the trick is being a traitor, but playing like you're a faithful. Like when I play the game Werewolf or when I play the game Mafia, like I, in my mind, convince myself, if I am Mafia, I convince myself that I am a faithful. I convince myself. And then all my lines of conversation are that way.
It's not easy. I mean, it's you could probably do it, but I couldn't.
It's not easy.
That's tough. Well, what were your initial thoughts on Dan and Phaedra as picks for traitors?
I mean, again, like if Dan is notorious for being cutthroat and strategic and this and that, then I think it's like obvious. Like,
yeah.
Two seasons in, like last season, they choose Suri. This season, they're going to choose somebody like that. You have to choose somebody like that to steer the traitor ship. Like you can't not.
Yep.
Like it would be impossible to choose like, I mean, maybe it would be extra fun.
Like Kevin or someone.
Bergie, Kevin, yeah. And Peppermint. Okay, never mind. I came up with a better show. The traitors, but Bergie, Kevin, and Peppermint are the traitors.
The traitor, yeah. They'd lose by episode three, probably.
But like that, then that's why. So you have to choose like, you have to choose someone who you on production side believe is savvy enough to go at least a far distance and to control the game for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of recruiting Parvati, I mean, I was screaming at my TV. Like, I do think that was the right move on Dan's part. I think Janelle, he has a closer relationship, but you don't really need her to be a traitor for you. Maybe you need her to be the faithful. And I just think Parv is very savvy. Again, I wouldn't trust Sandra to be a traitor with me. I don't know. What did you think about the Parv move from Dan?
Yeah, I like the Parv move because... Parv already had a little heat on her for being a traitor, like they said, and people are going to suspect her. And if they already kind of do, then she's the easiest one to throw under the bus if push comes to shove. I wouldn't have minded Janelle just because Dan knows her so well and she presumably knows him so well that like if she's going to be on to him and he believes that she can read his tales, he needs her to be there so that they can cover for each other.
True. So, I was also thinking maybe they have that deal of like, well, if one of us is a traitor, like, and we suss it out, let's not expose each other.
Let's do a secret handshake in the back and then we'll split the cash 50-50 at the end.
I mean,
so easy. I watched the first season and I was like, all you need is one person with you and one of you has to be a traitor and you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know how you felt. I was sort of impressed with Phaedra just in terms of like her poker face.
She was great.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Right? She stepped into that trader role really well. And I don't think a lot of people that come from these shows can do that. Like, you see so many people making mistakes and getting overwhelmed with the great game of strategy. Last season was the same. You saw, what was it, Katie from Below Deck? Is that her name?
Kate
from Below Deck. Like, she just like got super emotional and angry and upset and just like it's overwhelming to be in these cutthroat games where you're pointing fingers at people and throwing out names and even getting rid of people who really, really want to be there. And I thought that she did step into that role really, really well.
Yeah, I almost feel like she might outlast the other two. I don't know. Like, she's
definitely outlasting the other two.
Right?
Like, unless she slips up and we see Peppermint slip up here, like, in these games, you cannot. Every word has to be measured. Every interaction has to be measured. Every action has to be measured.
Yeah.
Like, and Peppermint made one slip where she accidentally said traitor instead of faithful one time. And that's enough, or especially early on when you don't have a lot to go on. That's enough to get rid of somebody. And yep. So as long as Phaedra can lay low, and I mean, she's sitting there crying with Deontay about getting rid of a faithful, like, that's pretty ice cold.
Yeah.
But it's also real. Like, she really felt for him, but also she's the one that like is playing everybody too. So, she's got, as far as like a cutthroat killer, she's got it.
Yeah. I will say, I think Dan and Parv are sort of leading the ship in terms of actual decision making in there.
Yeah.
But that's all, that's fine with Phaedra can just go along with it for
better.
Now. Like,
that's better. Yeah. Yeah. Let them also underestimate you.
Yeah.
Like, Dan obviously wants to steer the ship. It's a classic, like, well, what about this person? Well, what about this person? Well, let's go back and talk about this person again. What do you think?
Like you have to do that, but
yeah. Yeah.
For TV.
Yeah. So he obviously wants to be in control. I don't think Parv necessarily wants to right now. But yeah, I think Phaedra, she's in a good spot.
She is.
I'm impressed
with her. And, you know, she's a lawyer. She's a smart woman. She's also knows how to make good TV. It's kind of a good mix for her to be in there, I think.
For the record, not all lawyers are smart.
Okay, fair. That's a good point.
But
do you want to name any names, Tyson?
No, but Phaedra is smart. Okay. It seems like she is picking up on the game very quickly and knows exactly what to do.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to just go over some of the big moments from each episode. Mm-hmm. I would say Parv had an interesting moment, like, right from the get-go. Larsa sort of called her out at the round table.
Yeah.
As like, I heard, you know, my ears perked up. I did like that Parv kind of, like, shut her down. Like, no.
You
like,
have to.
Instead of being, like, all, you know, she was immediately like, don't fuck with me. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that from Parvati.
Yeah, I think, I mean, another way you could have done is been like, I also heard that person stop and I was thinking it was you. And ooh. Now you're deflecting on like, but then you're in this war of like battling and then one of you has to go. Eventually one of you is going to go. Like the he said, she said thing, if it doesn't like die down, then one of you will leave.
Which is what we saw with Peppermint and Trishelle over this silly bad joke.
Correct.
Which... Again, like you said, this game, I feel like every little thing kind of like, that's all they need, right? Like one little thing, John's over breathing too
Survivor's,
hard.
Survivor's the same. Like early on, you pick at anything you can to put the target on someone.
Mm.
Like anything. It doesn't matter. You look at every single line that can be naturally drawn up just based on appearance. And then from there, you see... who is rubbing people the wrong way the most. Like, it's literally like can come down to anything. Like so-and-so got a little bit more rice. Like it's early on, you grasp at anything you can to get rid of a person.
Yeah. And you kind of pile on almost if you have to, because you're like, as long as it's not me.
Correct. You have to pile on.
Yeah. So we saw a little bit of that. I don't want to get into the challenge too much. Whatever. It's blocks. They go into the water. Very waste of 30 minutes of my life.
And you know what? Timestamps are easy to manipulate. Like, did it come down a second and a half? Yeah, no. And there's no point of the challenges. Like, do what they did on Snake in the Grass, where if you finish the challenge, you get a clue to who one of the traitors is. And if you don't finish the challenge, then you don't get a clue. So the traitors are secretly trying to sabotage the challenge so they don't get clues. That would make the game move a little bit more, because right now you have, like, I'm sitting in that house with 20 people and everybody's playing pretty tight. I have would have no idea who a traitor was, and no, like, there's nothing to go off of. Like, the game is like, if the traitors just sat around and like did nothing and like everybody played pretty intelligently, like, there's no reason to think that anyone would be a traitor. So to have these little moments like this, clues can be like, maybe you get to a certain point and they get like a teeny tiny smidgen of a clue, and you get to another point and it's a bigger clue, like something like that. Like, give us some reason for the traitors to sabotage and for the faithfuls to work extra hard to finish the challenge.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking of the mole, but you're right. Snake in the Grass, I think it was similar, except they got clues. The clues were a little, maybe too obvious. So that always worries me.
Sure.
But some mechanic like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we don't care how much is in the prize pot. Personally, I don't even remember like how much money they got.
Well, last season that like the last, I think the last challenge, they were like, and you got all the money. Like, they just like topped it off for some reason. Like, it gave themselves a reason to top it off. And I think that, yeah, they just are like, they want the show to be a certain length of time. So they're just like, let's do these challenges. And then they do them. But there's like, there's really no reason to them. That's not even real gold. I know it's not real gold.
Tyson, how do you know that? Well, what about, all right, so what about the shield situation? They switched it up a little bit from season one, where you're not going into like an armory or whatever, but like, what do you think of Janelle's move to just like outright go get the shield at that point?
I mean, it is definitely selfish, and it's a balance between like working for the group and or portraying and pretending like you're working for the group versus being selfish. But when you fight so hard for a shield, it does make everyone think you're definitely a faithful.
Yep.
So there's that. I don't hate it, especially if she's the first one untied. Go grab it, come back, and then do the work. Like, it's easy enough. Somebody else is going to do it. So I definitely, I don't mind. I don't mind it right there. I think it's fine. I think you may as well be protected, especially early on. And Janelle specifically, like, people are probably looking at her as someone who has been in these strategic games enough times to be a threat. So, I like it. I think it's fine.
Like, I feel like would you do it? Cause you already have a target on your back probably.
Yeah, anyway, for sure. So. I would do it. Yeah, for sure. If I got out and got, I wouldn't like, it's tricky, right? Yeah. It's tricky, right? I wouldn't be an asshole about it. Like, cause you don't want to start any infighting with anybody. But I think you have to, I would have to go for it. Like, I believe I would be looking at any opportunity I could to get a shield.
Yeah, I think that's the right move. I mean, the other big thing from episode one was just the first murder. They left on the recruitment cliffhanger, which obviously we know they recruit Par. But in terms of the first murder, Johnny Bananas, what do you think about this move? I'm like torn, because I think it's, I agree with Dan that I feel like Johnny could suss him out, but at the same time, he is a big distraction. Do you want him in there? Like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think because I watched it, I like Bananas. Like, I don't know him that well, but like, I know him a little bit, and I would have liked to see him play further. But again, I think, like, if you're Bananas, like him and I probably personality wise are a little similar. I'm going in and I'm just sitting down and I'm letting people come to me and I'm not moving and I'm not looking suspicious and I'm not being overly loud. I'm just like being nice and winning people over and letting the entire game come to me. And like, if you're bananas, you have to go in assuming you're a target. Like he's been on like 15 shows this year.
Just this year.
Like it's like, it's so like at this point you have to know. And I think it was, I don't think it was bad. I think like people were like, oh, he's loud. And if you have someone loud, that's really out there and outgoing and maybe talks too much as a trader, that could be a danger.
Yeah, that's true.
And also because, if you're able to lead a group to, you know, that's another thing. So you want to get rid of the leaders. You want to get rid of the people that are respected in the house because they're the ones that can lead an uprising. And that's where it gets tricky because as the faithful, you need somebody with a good head on their shoulders to like start piecing together the information with everybody and then lead the charge and streamline it. But that person gets picked off all the time.
Yep. Yep. And there's not a lot of people right now on the faithful side that know what's going on.
Yeah. So and I do like CT and Trishel's reaction where they like now literally every time they're on camera, the look on their face is just like, we don't know what we're doing. And it's like, yeah, that's the difference. That's no alpha group here to just bully to the end.
I loved how in the mission or whatever, they were like, we're the challenge people. We're going to come in. And I'm like, no one can, like, this doesn't matter.
Yeah. No but, one cares or respects that.
Yeah. Sadly, but it is true. Also Banana has, you know, two sort of sidekicks with him. That's not great to have in there either, I would say.
Yeah. Especially if they look like they're getting chummy or close with each other. I think the traders chooses their wardrobe, right?
I think so. I don't know if yeah, because I think Rachel told me before season one she went shopping. So,
I don't know.
Maybe it's a mix of like they provide some like Scottish looking things.
And yeah, then... because Parv wasn't dressed like herself per se, and and CT's jeans were way too tight.
Yeah, what was with his jeans? Those were his jeans. I don't know.
Those were his jeans, but it's like, bro, it's 2024, and you're 45. Like they're tight. Skinny jeans are out. Let's just tell the world right now, skinny jeans that are that skinny are out. They are not in. They are out.
For men or women or both?
Both.
Yeah. Okay. I think I could co-sign. I still love my skinny jeans.
Women can wear
millennial.
Yeah.
But...
women can wear some skinny jeans. Men can wear slim jeans.
Slim.
But not painted on anymore. We're not painting our jeans on anymore, guys.
Okay, so episode two, Parv, we see is recruited.
Yep.
Bananas is killed. Dan sort of butters up to Parv a little bit before she finds out. What did you think about that?
I didn't. If I'm Parv, I'm feeling betrayed by Dan in those moments. Find out he's a traitor and he's just been like kind of playing me the whole day long. Like part of me is like, what was that for? Like you're testing me? Like, like I wouldn't say anything, but I definitely would be like, as a trader, if I'm Parv, I'm like, Dan's got to go. At some point, Dan's got to go. If he's like trying to be like seven levels deep and testing me, the recruit he had to see if I was faithful to him before I understood that we were working together. Come on now.
I see where he was going with it, but I don't know if the execution I don't know if it mattered. Like you didn't.
It's not going to matter. She's going to have to lock herself in as a traitor.
Right.
Like the best thing you can do is win her over with kindness before she finds out she's a traitor. Not like, yeah, and I was testing you. How did we do? It's just like cute.
True.
Cute.
Well, we'll get to that because I'm going to breeze through episode two here. It was a little bit of a snooze, but like Peppermint's a big reality TV star though. Do you think that was kind of smart to get rid of her? Or big reality fan. I think she knows all the survivors.
Yeah,
knows the
you said people. Star and I was like, I never heard of her, but I love it. Yeah, I mean, partly, but also No, actually, because the thing is that when you're a big reality fan and you find yourself on one of these shows with these people that you've grown up watching or whatever, they are one or two dimensional characters to you.
Hmm.
So then when you meet them, like people who meet me for the first time on TV and they're just like, okay, me and my family hated you growing up. And you're like, that's fine. And then like 2 days later, they're like, you're so cool. I didn't realize that you were this cool of a guy. And it's like, you win them over doubly hard because like what you're seeing on TV, it is a piece, a sliver of them, but it's not the full them. And so I think that you can utilize that to your advantage. Not all the time. Like you have to read Peppermint and see how she's feeling towards you or, but I think that there's opportunity there to lock her in really tight.
Yeah. I remember, I think Dan in the first murder was like considering Peppermint, but I'm like also with the Peppermint versus Trishelle, like you want her in there, let her be banished. Don't murder her because they're going at each other. So, but nevertheless, she's banished. Max is pissed. Max has very intense energy, this guy.
Yeah. I like his reads.
Yeah.
Like he's, okay. And I also like that he stands back and he's like, guys, we're killing people based off literally nothing. Like we're sitting here, we're arguing, we're nitpicking, and we have nothing and we have no evidence, nothing. And we're just killing people. Someone has to die. Like I get it, but I do like that. I did like that he was like kind of like stepping back and looking at it. He obviously made some mistakes later, but I didn't mind that. I liked how devastated Deontay was. Like,
well, he was like, the one going after him.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, I mean,
that whole thing was weird.
Deontay was upset about the Peppermint vote, and he was like, that cannot happen again. We cannot vote out a faithful, someone who wants to be here. Like, that's wrong morally. It is wrong to do that. And that's the perfect example of someone who's never played a game like this before and not understanding that they will be completely overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I mean, don't bring morals into this game. Just leave them home.
We don't
need the morals.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Okay. So getting into episode three. Yeah. So Max ends up getting banished anyway. Deontay's devastated or crying over, was he crying over Max or Peppermint? Now I can't remember.
He was crying over the game in general. He was crying over Max, but it was just that like, cause he targeted,
he was
Max
wrong
and he rallied and he was like, he likening it to like a mob or a group. It was something like that.
Mob mentality. Yeah.
Mob mentality. And this time he was leading the charge and he led them to Max. Max didn't do a great job defending himself there. I think he could have like fired back, but he just kind of sat there and took it. And then it was over for him. And I think that, I mean, Peppermint even too, like you get kind of flummoxed
mm-hmm.
and flummoxed. Get kind of like, oh, I don't know what to say to retaliate, but you have to keep fighting and arguing and saying stuff or pointing the finger somewhere else or defending yourself. And like, when you stop defending yourself, it just makes you look guiltier. So I think like Max just being like, okay, if that's how you feel, fine. But it's like, yeah, but you didn't like.
Well, he went after CT a little bit. I'm like, the move is, and we could talk about this now, is that Dan had a lot of heat on him. So Max should have went in on Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Keep going at Dan. And I did like, who had that initial read on Dan? Was that Larsa?
So I think Larsa and MJ are the big, because I could see it. Dan's not like super warm. They don't know him. They probably heard, hey, that he's dangerous. And that's their correct read. But yeah, it was MJ and Larsa, I think. Maybe
I
separately.
They were like, you're too comfortable. Like, I loved that because that is how you tell a traitor in this game. The person who has all of the knowledge is going to be comfortable.
Hmm.
And so I did like that. Like, that's, you have to act as though you are not comfortable as a traitor. and you have to, nothing's a certainty. Like, that's the thing, is that the faithfuls, nothing is a certainty. So except for what you are yourself, and you're the only one that knows that. So you can fight for that as much as you can to convince people, but then everything else is uncertain. Like the second, like, someone comes to me and is like, I believe you 100%. Like, I am with you, ride or die. I know that you are a faithful. That person's a traitor. The person that tells you that is a traitor.
That's fair.
Because they're the only ones that truly know what everyone.
Because they have all the information. Yeah. They have the advantage in the situation.
And the best way you can win someone over is to tell them you are with them 100% and that you believe them.
Yeah.
Like traitor 101, playing traitor 101. Is go around to all of the faithful and tell them you believe that they are a faithful because they seem like a straight shooter.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask. What did you think of Dan's defense, and what should he have done in that situation?
I didn't mind it, like, just blaming it on his boring personality. Like, that's... It's like, I'm quiet and boring. Like, that's who I am. It's like, perfect for TV, dog. So I didn't mind it. Like, that's accurate.
And then you had Deontay being like, yeah, guys, come on. She's just boring.
Yeah. She's just boring. She's not an action star like me. He's boring. I think he could have leaned into it harder but it's tricky, right? Cause you want to deflect and like push it somewhere else without being too, defensive. That's the balance. Like, you can't be too defensive. You kind of have to shrug it off and be like, you know what? Like, I can see like how you see that, but that's just the way I am. And like, I'm sorry. Like, I can try harder, but that's, you get too defensive. And then like Max, he just got too defensive towards CT. And then everybody was like, no. Yeah. So it is a balance. You have to do enough to defend yourself, but not so much that everyone thinks you are aggressively defensive.
Yep. I don't know what else he could have done there. I think there was a few things probably cut out, but he said something like, when I take a shot, I don't miss. So I'm assuming his prowess from Big Brother came up and he was just like, yeah, I'm good at the game, but like, I'm not saying names because I don't know yet. And I'm waiting for my moment kind of vibe.
Yeah. I didn't mind that.
I didn't like that.
I kind of was like, maybe that would win people over, honestly, to be like, okay, this guy is not going to take a shot till he's certain.
Right.
Let's hang by him and see what he does and how he does it. Yeah. I didn't hate it, but even in those moments when he was saying that, he seemed too comfortable.
See, it's funny. We're saying comfortable, but visibly he looked uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Like,
but I think visibly he's always looks uncomfortable. That's his face.
I guess because I've seen him play other games, he's giving me a little bit of Cody from last season. Obviously not the same. Like, Cody was very uncomfortable and not good at being a traitor, but I kind of got that too. And I was like, and then I'm like, where is Janelle being like, Dan's acting weird, but like, she's not. So,
but we kind of saw it on her face a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I think there were like shots of her kind of like being taking like, pause. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And Sandra also, there were shots of Sandra kind of like side-eyeing Parv a little bit. So, but I mean, that's movie magic right there. We don't know
when
those shots happened. Also, like, how many months out there were they to get all that ridiculous B-roll?
Well, they filmed UK and US back-to-back, so they were out there for like probably a good month or probably 2 months, actually.
But like Kevin in the bathtub and like like these shots where it's just like, I can't even imagine like them being like, yo, Tyson, can you come down? And then we're going to have you like walk slow and then look at the camera and then turn and then we got to do it in every outfit.
Sip a glass of wine.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, what would you do? Bring your bike or pickleball or something? Like, what would you?
No, I just probably would tell him no. I'd be like, no, that's not in my contract. Like, you can use B-roll of other people.
Oh my God, I love that, Tyson.
Yeah.
That's the move.
That's the move. Like, I don't want to be in those B-roll shots because they look ridiculous.
Yeah, they're going for the campiness, but like, it's probably a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I hate to keep going back to the challenge, but they always do like next time on the challenge or previously on the challenge. And they'd come to us and be like, hey, can you do this? And I'd be like, I can't, I won't be in that shot. Thank you very much. And I was go back and watch the season. I was in zero of those on purpose by design, because I didn't want to look like a doofus. I also like, you look at that and it's like, I don't want to be portrayed in that like B-roll type, like that's just not me. And so I just say no to it. Like, it's like you sit in some of these confessionals sometimes and somebody's like, would you say that the entire house is like a flock of chickens with their heads cut off running around bonking into each other? And you're like, I wouldn't say that. And they're like, can you though, for the camera? I was like, I won't, because it's not funny and it doesn't sound like me at all.
Yeah. See, that's like the one way you can control your edit at least a little bit, because they can't show things that you never said. So
right.
That's, I don't know how many people actually pick up on that. I'm sure like someone like Bananas probably only already has his lines ready to go.
Oh dude, months in advance. He's got a team of writers behind him. No, I think if you are comfortable with who you are and know your image and also are more clever than production, then you're good. But sometimes, like, I mean, who's to say that Dan doesn't have production writing jokes for him? And he's like, yeah, that's better than what I come up with on my own. Like, I'm singling out Dan just because he's boring. But like, in like, you know, I'm not trying to be mean here. Just like, that's just an example. Like, there are people who probably benefit from having production whisper quips in their ear.
I would say there's probably a mix with Dan. I think he plays nice with production, gives them the sound bites, but like the Deontay,
what sound
like
bites? Give me a sound bite. What sound bites?
I'm thinking Big Brother sound bites, but okay. with this, when he was talking about Deontay, like, I'm in here with a heavyweight champion. Like, that sounds like Dan to me. Like, that's something he would say, which makes sense.
Do you
sense.
Think he really knew he's a heavyweight champion? I never heard of Deontay. I don't follow boxing, but like, is Deontay like big star?
This is what I hear. People are telling me this, and I don't follow either. And I know Dan's into some sports, at least football. So I don't know how deep he knows.
Okay.
But like, also the cast, some of the cast was like leaking. I don't think Deontay, actually, I think his name was leaked. So maybe he did his homework too. Okay. Could have been that.
Can I tell you my favorite person?
Yes. Who? Tell me.
John, the Burkla. Politician. That dude is rad.
Tell me about your love for John. Where'd this come from?
He's just ridiculous. Like, he is.
When he was running, that was
the way he runs every time is just so like they good. Sped all the running up, right? Like, no, but none of them move that fast.
Yeah, actually, that makes
like
sense.
They sped it all up. Like, all of that is sped up. Like, we're not sitting there for half an hour watching these doofuses run across a field. Like, they sped that all up, but it's so hilarious when he's sped up and the way he runs. And then just like, even the way he talks and everything, like, I just would get a huge kick out of him and egg him on. And he's totally out of his element in this show with these people. And he knows it. He's like the old weird dude. That's okay. Being old and weird.
Yeah.
And I think I like that.
I mean, it might take him far, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. Cause he's not a threat. He's totally out of his element. And he's pretty entertaining. The only thing that could go wrong for him is that some people definitely are not entertained by him. I think he will rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah. He got some votes in the peppermint banishment.
Yeah.
And then the poor guy, you know, the asthma situation seems so stupid. I'm again just blown up because like we need something. But
yes,
like,
yes.
Tamara was like, where's your inhaler?
Yeah.
This is too much.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Tamara herself is like, I'm a genius. I can't believe I thought of this. I think also that round table thing situation, it is weird because you would be listening, like trying to measure everything. But like, also you have to understand that production's probably trying to throw people off. And also like, there's so much going on. So you can't, like, nobody got a correct read after the closed eyed round table thing.
Yeah. I heard, he goes around that table, like for like, not an hour, but like a long time.
Yeah.
Like multiple times, like way more than necessary. So,
I mean, even on TV, it was way more times than necessary. Like, that was the first half of the episode was just like him slowly walking, being like,
So true.
Yeah.
No, I'm starting to like, he didn't get a ton of screen time, but like, I'm a little, I don't want to say impressed by Peter, the Bachelor.
Yeah, he's smart, but he's letting everyone know he's smart. And that's the problem.
Well, Good point there. What did you think about the move for him and Kevin to randomly go after each other?
That was so ridiculous. Like that they're both voting at each other was hilarious. It was so cute. It was like these little cutie pies thinking they're playing this game. Like, and in their mind, they're like, we're geniuses. And it's like, it's not going to work when it's so obvious. Like, it's random too. It's like,
they didn't plant the seed.
They didn't plant a seed towards each other. They didn't like, hey, you know what? I think Kevin, like if they would have gone around the house, but then what would have been hilarious is they go around the house and one of them gains enough traction to actually get rid of the other person. So it's like they didn't plant the seed and then they just voted at each other and it was totally random. It was like, okay, we got 19 votes for Max and then we got one vote for Peter. Oh, interesting. And one vote for Kevin. Wow. Okay. Like it, out of nowhere, like nobody's looking at that. Like, those guys aren't working together. All I'm thinking is those guys are probably working together and it's cute.
It's cute.
Little cute.
Yeah. Guys. You're right. It's dangerous too, though. Cause like, okay, you get
one. They gain traction.
Yeah. If you get start getting votes, people are like, oh, we already voted for him. So we can vote for him again. Not piss him off.
It was fun. Like, I don't mind the idea, but the execution was poor. I don't think you have to vote for each other. I think you just like keep your distance. Like you make a handshake on day two and just be like, ride or die. We're with each other. Let's play opposite sides. And then if I hear your name or if you hear my name, let's circle back and figure out a way to deflect and get someone else. So like there's better ways than just like randomly throwing a vote at a guy and then having him randomly throw the vote back. Like it couldn't have looked more manufactured.
Yeah. Poor Kevin had no idea what was going on there. I don't think.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. That sounds like a great idea.
Do they know they were filming him in the bathtub? Does he know they were filming him in the bathtub?
Yeah. I mean, that was a complete setup. The lighting. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were actually asking me. I'm like, come on, Tyson.
No, I just, it was just, that's the B-roll that I'm talking about. They're like, so what we're going to do? It's like, okay. And you show up and they're like,
who's doing the bathtub? Hours.
We got Kevin. The light. Yeah. The light is going to take some time. So you're going to be here for a while. The water's going to get cold. I'd be like, nah, not for me.
Wait, we have to talk about Parv voting for Kevin here and cross. I don't know if you saw, she crossed out a D.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I don't know what that was about. I should have texted her. I saw that and I was like, is she misdirecting somehow and like putting the D down? Like she was going to vote Dan. And is that like to throw people off that they're together as traitors? That was my only thought, was that.
I was thinking that too. I was like, what if Dan and her talked like, hey, I'm going to think maybe that she could buddy up to Lars or MJ, who's after Dan, and say, I was thinking that too, but he changed my mind and here's why, sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what that was fully, but that would make sense. And yeah, I think that would make the most sense. So. Yeah. The Kevin vote, though, was a weird, it was also weird on Parv's part, like choose someone who was being talked about, but also like the cleanest vote is to vote someone who's leaving the house
with the majority. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always the cleanest vote. Cause then you don't have to fight anybody. Like now Kevin's like, Peter, our plan worked perfectly except for Parv also voted for me. So now we have to get rid of Parv.
That's true. Yeah, it's such a... We're definitely missing scenes here, clearly. I don't think Parvati would just, like, throw a vote like that.
Yeah.
And she probably also knew... Maybe Peter let her in into this plan, because I did see a scene where Peter and Parv were, like, seemed to be chummy, or at least friendly. So, like, maybe they know each other, or I don't know if they know each other now, but...
I don't know if they... I don't know that they knew each other, but I think, yeah, like, maybe Peter was, like, throw a vote on Kevin because
so I don't look
yeah like I'm worse because we're making it look like we don't aren't working together. And Parv's like, oh, that's good information, I'm a traitor. Like I think the D makes sense. It's one of those like very subtle things that like maybe one or two people catch and then they spread it around. We're like, she almost voted for Dan. And then she can go to Dan and be like, I put a D. Now the people don't realize we're working together.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. I mean, people are going to, Sandra definitely noticed that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But again, we don't see, Sandra hasn't got much screen time, so I don't know where her head's at. But a couple other big things that just happened in the third episode. What did you take from the Ek and Sue versus Janelle of it all? It seemed a little also very silly, but
I mean, it's weird because it was a little bit of a physical altercation.
Yeah.
And those are big no-nos in 2024 here, especially when it's not provoked. Like, it's not like it was part of the challenge to be physical with each other, you know?
True. Like,
I think if Ek and Sue would have just, like, made a bigger stink about Janelle getting physical with her, it might have been a problem for production.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah. I don't know. It was definitely, when we saw it on TV, Janelle did get physical and rip that thing from Ek and Sue, even though she didn't have like the best handhold on it.
Yep.
Like, she kind of came around and like blocked her and pushed her off of it.
And it's
a weird balance too, because Janelle, like, that's bad if people saw it. Like, that's very selfish. But also in this game where, like, you're looking at who's a faithful, like, what's more faithful than pushing someone off of a shield so you can have it, because you are so faithful and terrified that you need a shield.
Right. Fair. I went back and actually rewatched it, because at first I was like, wait, Ek and Sue had it first. It does look like Janelle had it first. Ek and Sue came through the side and Janelle did sort of aggressively push her away.
Yeah. Ek and Sue put like her hand on it through like tried to strip it from her like you would with a football, trying to cause a fumble.
Yeah, I could see that sort of beef carrying through for the next few episodes. All right, so let's talk about the last thing we saw, was this murder in plain sight. Parv took the lead here, which I think was probably, I don't think Dan could get away with that by any means. But what is the move here? Because I'm thinking this is hard. What do you think? I don't think she's going for Sheree, but they were considering it. But I think that would have pissed Phaedra off. I don't know who it is.
I don't know who it is either. And I think you just have to find like the drunkest, most
easiest,
outspoken person in the moment who you're just like, I found this glass, I dare you to drink out of it. Like, it's like something like that.
Yeah. I was thinking, can't you say like, hey, this wine tastes a little weird. Does this taste weird? It tastes weird to me, kind of vibe. Something like that.
Yeah, that's true. That would be perfect, actually.
Like, it took me a while.
What kind of wine is this? Here you go. Yeah, it's always easier watching and then planning for a few days to come up with what your move would be there. But I like that move. I think the thing is that we've never seen this before on The Traitors. So even though, like, we're watching it and being like, Parv seems a little sus, nobody would have any idea. Like, nobody's looking at her like, it's weird that she's carrying that rusty old glass around and
in a castle.
Like, nobody's looking at her like that. They're just like, okay. So I'm interested to see who drinks it. Who do you think drinks it?
I have a feeling it's Deontay or a guy. I think it's a guy. I don't know. Yeah. She was like, MJ wouldn't drink out of a rusty cup. And I'm thinking, okay, like, I could see CT drinking out of a rusty, you know, like, I don't know.
All he has is rusty cups. His whole house is just like two rusty cups.
Oh my God, Tyson. But yeah, what about you? Any guesses? I don't know.
No, I don't have any guesses other than I think it's got to be somebody who like isn't blinking at drinking out of that weird cup.
Yeah. You know,
like,
yeah.
But it wouldn't matter. Like, you could try a bunch of people. Like, but what if you say, hey, taste this wine, it's weird. Does this wine taste weird to you? And then like seven people taste it.
I guess it's just the first person. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know either.
Also, I don't know how long that went on. I mean, the editing, like, it was hard to tell who Parv was even talking to. It was very tricky editing. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. They misdirected us on purpose.
Yeah. So that's where they left off.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I think Parv's going to have to cut Dan loose at some point. No.
Yeah. I think I think pretty early. I think she should have voted for Dan, honestly, instead of Kevin.
Okay.
Because you can sell that to Dan and be like, look, now it looks like we're not even together at all. And then you can start setting up. Because the problem is when Dan goes, if Dan goes, and you don't vote for him on the time he goes, mm-hmm. or you don't, like, it would be more powerful if you're like, okay, Dan's on the chopping block a little bit. It's only a matter of time. Let me put his name down. So then it looks like I'm an early adopter. Then that's, right. then that looks even less suspicious and makes me seem more like a faithful when I'm like, I was on to Dan early. Like I wrote his name down when Max went, and I wrote his name down when we got rid of him. Like that's writing the D did do something.
Yeah. I think. Maybe that helped.
But I do believe like, yeah, you, and as a trader, when you see that, I think you have to set yourself up earlier, because then you'll have more evidence that you are a faithful when you're like, no, I wrote his name down a couple times.
Yeah. I think with Dan, he would take it sort of personal if she wrote his name. So I don't know how that would work, but
yeah, the good news is he's quiet. So like he wouldn't complain too much.
Yeah. Well, what is the move? So if someone's saying your name, Tyson, like a Larsar and MJ, do you just kill them just to get them out, or is it too obvious, or you say you're framed? Like, what is the move there?
I think like you have, that's the thing, is I think you take the leaders out and you do the, it can't be obvious, obviously.
Yeah.
It can't be obvious, obviously. Is that a sentence I came up with on my own?
It's early.
Yeah. Like, I think you have to go after the leader and the most influential and who you think is the most influential in the house. And that's generally how you go, unless they're specifically targeting you. Then you have to probably lead them somewhere else by taking someone else out that's in a feud with someone else. Like, I think that's the play. If they're looking at Dan specifically and it's those two, as long as they don't have much traction, I think you have to leave them. It's when they start gaining enough traction that then it's like, okay, now it's a problem. But that's the trick, because if one of them goes after so outspokenly being against Dan in that moment, Dan obviously looks suspect.
Yep. I mean, I forgot to mention, but like they did get rid of Marcus. I think he's the second one to be killed. I mean, with this pair being in there, I don't understand how this would work. Like, they both have to be faithfuls. In my opinion, I feel like that's too tricky for production. I'm thinking about production and how that whole thing works. Like, but he was on to Dan a little bit too. So I guess that was a smart move. But what would you do if there were a pair in there?
I mean, the pair would either have to be, you're right. You're like, you, as production, you couldn't trust them to
make one of traitor.
Make one, but that would be the most powerful.
Yeah.
Like if one of them was traitor and got rid of their loved one, like you're never suspecting that person, you know?
Well, like, you've seen that before.
I've seen it before. Yeah. No, I was instrumental in making it happen.
Yep.
But I think, I would, they'd both have to be faithful, but they got rid of Marcus because people respected his opinion, and they did that challenge where, everybody was like, whose opinion is respected the most in the house? So I think at that point if he's not onto you, you can leave him. But I think the second that those are the people you have to get rid of in the house are the people that can gain a following once they have some information.
I was a little worried afterwards, because once Marcus is gone, Larsa has no distraction. Now she's like dead set on like whoever she thinks, which unfortunately for Dan, it's him.
Yeah.
So that was my other thing of like, I liked the move to get rid of Marcus, but at the same time, you have to think about like who Larsa is as a person. She's very, I've heard she's very codependent with like, they're very like into each other. So like she's taken that personally and now she's out for blood basically.
Yeah. I have so many questions because I don't know a lot of these people.
Yeah.
Larsa Pippen was married to Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
And is now with Michael Jordan's son.
It's bizarre.
That's it. That's the story, right?
That's the story.
Crazy.
Crazy. I don't know the truth of this, but like, yeah, apparently she knew him when he was a very young kid. So it's a little weird. I mean, it is weird. Yeah. So yeah, that's been a whole other thing in the media, just like what's going on with that. And apparently, okay, again, I don't know how true this is, that she was like very insistent that they do the show together. I don't know if that is true, but
yeah. Yeah, I don't mind it. I think a couple from a different show that was a little more strategic would probably be more dangerous. And then you definitely have to split it up. But I think here you can let these guys float for a little bit.
True. Okay. Well, I have a couple more things. Who did we not talk about? Bergy. Any thoughts on Bergy?
Seems
like a nice guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
How smart he is. You don't know how smart he is. I can tell you how smart he is. He's not that smart. But he did have his moment where he figured out that the lights were on a pattern. Doesn't seem like a hard thing to figure out. But everyone
was the hero. What are you talking about, the hero. Tyson?
He had his hero moment. He had his Suri on Survivor moment where he's just like, I shouldn't be doing this. And then he does it. Suri's was different where they were like, you're in dead last place by a mile. Do you want to finish? It's like at that point you have to stay. We're all gonna wait while you finish. The worst punishment of all time. And so Bergy, yeah. I think he's funny. He's cute because he's like so out of his element and all he wants to do is prove to people that he's not out of his element. But like when he reminds me of Jake from this past season of Survivor, who was always like five moves behind, like reverse chess.
Oh, shout out to Jake. Nice guy.
Shout out to Jake. Nice guy. But you know, like you're playing catch up the whole time. Bergy's kind of like that. Yeah. And I don't know fully how they build these casts because it's not all strategy or brains, but the game is all strategy and brains. So, but you need those people. You need the Bergies.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is Bergy someone you would like almost take under your wing a little bit? I feel like
for sure.
Him or Kevin, I don't think they know what's going on so much.
Yeah, yeah. You just take him under your wing. You're like, I'm a veteran of these things. I know how they work. Just follow my lead, boys. Mm-hmm. And then they do.
Like they're the betas. You're the alpha.
I don't consider myself an alpha. I'm like the guy who puppet masters the alpha.
What about are you talking about real life or in Survivor?
In these games. Okay. I try not to be the alpha. I'd rather puppet master the alpha, champion the alpha until it's time to get rid of the alpha. Let someone else be the alpha. And then when the group targets him, don't be so close to the alpha that you're coupled with him, but let the alpha do his thing.
That's a really good point.
The challenge though, you have to be the alpha or with the alpha group.
How this is
going. Do you like this season better than last season?
So far, I think so. I think I'm a little more. Yeah, I don't know. Right now I'm like on the fence. What about you?
I like that it's all reality stars instead of half and half. I think that's an unfair advantage. Like those half that are not, it's just like, why are you there? Because you're just going to get overshadowed by these people who are already known and outplayed by these people who've already played these games.
Yeah.
So I like that part. We haven't seen enough innovation from season one to season two for me to like really, really enjoy it. Like they could have done so much more with the challenges than just do the same thing where it's like you're building the prize pot and everybody's so stoked for $15,000 to be added to, like they're over the moon about 15,000. Look, I don't want to sound spoiled or snobby.
Some of us didn't win $1 million, Tyson.
I know, but even still, like, there's like 75 people there.
No, yeah.
$15,000 betwixt 75 people is like $100 each. It's nothing. And like, it's the same with like when like somebody comes out, like the prize is $250,000. It's like, oh, that's disappointing. Isn't this on TV? Shouldn't it be more? Like,
before so, taxes.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so like, man, they must have done some big time coaching to be like, you guys lose your fucking minds when we say $10,000. Just absolutely go fucking apeshit. Michael Jordan's son, you're worth billions, right? lose your fucking mind when we say $10,000. You need to for the show. Just go berserko. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I would say, and I don't know people's financial situation, but I would say,
but you know, Michael Jordan is worth billions and billions of dollars, right?
Yes, yes. I was a huge Michael Jordan fan, actually, weirdly.
Great.
When I was younger.
Yeah. So, yes. My whole goal on this season would have to become good enough friends with Marcus Jordan,
yes,
where I could then become very good friends with Michael Jordan. That would be my only, like, that's a bigger win to me than
$10,000.
Than winning a portion of the prize pool. Like, it's just like, come on, get me in Michael Jordan's, like, I don't have to be in his inner circle, but the circle outside of his inner circle. Get me there.
Where he might want to invest in some of your ventures.
No, something. I don't even care about that. Just
okay.
Like, I'll gamble.
Play basketball?
I'll gamble a little bit with you and do whatever. Yeah, what, I don't know. Whatever.
It'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I'd take that $10,000 and gamble it on a single hole of golf with Michael Jordan.
I believe it. I see. I totally forgot that, like, at the end, there could be four people splitting whatever this prize is, which is
$250,000 if they play it like last year, where they're the very last challenge. They're just like, oh, and we're topping it off. It's like, that's what they're going to do. It's like, it's so silly.
You know, the missions you did, they did not matter.
Because... Yeah. Punish these people, guys.
Yeah.
Punish them. You've paid them all appearance fees. Now punish them. Make them earn it. Or make the challenges matter. $10,000.
Yeah, the stipends, the appearance fees got to be way up there. For, yeah. Like,
yeah.
So they're, yeah, it seems silly now that I think about it. All right, so how do we feel Parv is doing? Any predictions of how this is going to go in the next episode or two?
I don't know exactly. Parv, to me, like, I know Parv very well. I love Parv. I think she's great. I think here, she doesn't necessarily want to be as cutthroat as she might have to be.
Hmm.
And I think she either needs to get that or it can be bad. Like, I think she needs to either turn it on, Micronesia Parv, where she is willing to slit anyone's throat at any cost, to further herself in the game. And if she can get herself in that mindset, I think she's going to be great. But also, like, she's got a lot of great stuff going on at home. So does this matter to her as much as it maybe used to? I don't know.
Yeah. What I will say too is she's just, I'm just happy to see her on TV again and in a different capacity. I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
She looks great.
Like,
she looks so good.
Yeah.
I know you said that's not her style, but, like, I love it. Like, it fits the vibe.
Yeah. Like the clothing and stuff, like, yeah. Some of it is, but some of it isn't, because they're doing this whole Scottish thing. But, like, yeah, she gets to, dress herself up a little bit every time. And, like, she's a natural beauty and looks incredible on TV.
I think so, too. Any thoughts on Sandra? I know we didn't see much of her. Any predictions for how that might go?
I haven't talked or seen Sandra in a handful of years. Hmm. And not unrecognizable, but she has definitely gone through some changes. Like, she's wearing braces now, straightening her teeth. I had braces on not too long ago. But I think she's doing well right now. She's laying pretty low, it seems. And she's doing her Sandra thing where she's sitting back and, like, observing. And I think, like, you have to be able to get away with observing, but not in the capacity where Dan is being called out for being too quiet.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's the play, especially if you're strategic and if these are your games, like, you have to observe. And so I think she's sitting in a good position right now. Like, she's a faithful, nobody's really, like, eyeballing her. Nobody's, like, calling her out. And she knows Parv well enough. She's played Survivor with her multiple times. So I think if you're in that position where you've played with somebody on a show before and they're a traitor and you're not, I think that's a more powerful position. So I think Sandra and Janelle are in more powerful positions than their counterparts who are traitors, Parv and Dan.
Yep. I agree. More so than Dan and Parv?
I think Janelle is in a stronger position than Dan. And I think Sandra is in a stronger position than Parv in relation to Parv. Because Sandra can get a read on Parv, but Parv knows that Sandra is a faithful.
True.
Like there's more to risk when you're playing against people you know if you are the traitor.
Do you think if at any point they're going to recruit someone else, maybe they lose Dan, maybe they lose Phaedra, should Parv recruit Sandra to get her on our side or no?
Yeah, I think so. But also Sandra would be one of those players who would, as a traitor, target the traitors.
Yep, for sure.
Try to get rid of the traitors. And so,
for sure.
Yeah, so I also, that's dangerous. I think if you're in these positions right now, as Dan and Parv, you need to look at opportunities to get rid of Sandra and Janelle without being too obvious.
Oh, interesting. Because you don't want them to know?
Correct. You don't want them to get a read on you before you get them. And so, like, if you're like, okay, you know me fairly well, and you're looking me in the eye and asking me if I'm telling you the truth and this and that, like, get rid of Dan, keep buddying up to Janelle, but get rid of her. Then you get rid of her. Then you act shocked. Then you claim that you're the next target because they must be going after the big brother masterminds. Do the same thing, get rid of Sandra and do the same thing. I think you, in those situations specifically, you have to get them before they get a strong read on you. Because Sandra, especially, she's sitting back. She hasn't said much. The second she starts being outspoken, people are going to listen more to that.
True. But my only thing with that is, like, wouldn't you, if they get rid of Janelle or Sandra, wouldn't they be like, all right, well, one of the Survivor Big Brother is a traitor, so now we're just getting rid of them. See which one it is.
No, I don't think the people in there in those moments are really believing that. Like, how many of these people do you think watched season one, really, even in preparation for this?
I don't think a lot of these people did not do their homework. It's clear.
Yeah. So I think that you're fine.
True. Okay. Yeah. There's also four housewives. I mean, I would assume one of them is a traitor, which Phaedra is. So
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hope that Parv can turn it on and get that like cutthroat mentality where anything to further her game is better. And I think we'll see Sandra turn it on. I think at some point when she gets a read, she's going to start being a lot more vocal. And yeah. And I think.
So you're liking it. You enjoyed it or you're like, eh.
I pick apart these shows when I watch them now, the reality shows. Like I've been on them enough. And have experienced, like even Marriage Boot Camp. I was on a show called Marriage Boot Camp.
Oh my God,
like,
I forgot about that.
10 years ago. And it was probably more like this style where it's like mansion style show where like they're not sleeping at that castle and they're doing all this B-roll and they're like, and there's a lot of production input on, you know, where you're standing and what you're doing and this and that. And so like, I'm watching it and being like, production made them do that. That's like,
you're so jaded.
Yeah. So I'm so jaded. It's just like there's the moment where they're walking up the stairs to bed and Peter like goes up and John like goes past the stairs and Peter's like, bedrooms are up here, John. And he's like, oh yeah. And I was like, no, they're not. And that's why John missed the turn because their bedrooms aren't up there at all.
I don't know why they're pretending, because in the UK version, they don't pretend. They just drive them away to their hotels. So I don't get the pretending.
Yeah.
All right. So as we wrap up, anything else? And then I know people are going to want to know, would you ever play the traitors?
There's nothing really else I don't think that I have. I hope, again, that Parv can, you know, start honing in on her killer instinct. I kind of want to see I want to see CT like step it up and all of a sudden, like, but again, way different game than the challenge. Like this is purely social. Survivor is a lot social, but you're dealing with the elements, which makes it more difficult even, I think. But then there also is some physical aspect to it. The challenge is purely physical, to be honest. Like the social is like a big backseat. There's a little social, but without being physical, the social isn't going to get you that far. Like, is there been someone who's won the challenge by being social without being physical? I don't even think so. You have to be physical. And so I think that's where like, there's going to be a learning curve for some of these people. Yeah. And would I ever play the traders? I mean, never say never, but when I'm watching these, I'm like, I would hate to be surrounded by like 90% of these people for as long as they have to be. So it would have to be worth it for me. Like I have kids at home. It's selfish for me to leave at this point because I don't have to. It's not necessarily my livelihood. And so it would either have to be like, I would absolutely have to like love every aspect of the idea of being on the show or get compensated adequately. So
well,
I would
fair.
Say, I would say probably not, but not ruling it out 100%.
Yeah. Do your girls like watching you on TV or are they still young and they don't really.
They're still young. They don't care. I've turned the family visit on where Bergen, my oldest, came out and visited us on Winners at War. She doesn't even care about herself on TV. She's just like, can we watch Bluey? I'm like, yeah, we should watch Bluey. Bluey's great. I mean, not impossible, but improbable.
Okay. Well, that gives me a little bit of hope because I think you'd be fun, whether you were a traitor or faithful. I think
that's the problem.
You have good reads.
I think
people would assume.
People would assume I'm a traitor.
Yeah.
So I'd have to get that off real quick that I'm not, whether or not I actually am. But I think I'm social enough for this game. I think I would, and I'm cutthroat enough. Like I have no problem slitting everybody's throat and, high-fiving everyone else about it as they're walking out.
I think we know that about you, Tyson.
That's oh, you do?
To watch. Yeah.
Okay.
I figured it out over the last like 15 years or so. But
I didn't know that you were that well versed in Survivor.
Oh yeah,
I watch Survivor. You just don't do a lot of media for Survivor.
I used to, but like it just didn't perform when I was at Us Weekly. It just, I guess, you know, there was a lull in there in the like.
Have we met in person over Survivor before?
No.
Challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I was covering Survivor before Winners at War for like a few years, but I might pick it up again. Just why not? Okay. Because I still watch it. And Token Jeans actually was like one of my favorite seasons for a long time.
Yeah. And I was young and beautiful.
That's crazy that you've been there four times, though. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. No, I mean, Sandra and Parv both there four times as well.
Yeah, you're right. Well, technically Sandra was there five, but I guess we don't count that.
Yeah, I mean, 4.5, since she did leave Winners at War as quickly as she could.
God, I forgot about that. Yeah, oh my God.
She got to Edge of Extinction and realized it would be an uncomfortable stay for her there.
Yep.
Because everybody there was like, yeah, Sandra's whatever. And she was like, I'm out of here. So.
I forgot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and last but not least, Rob on Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I'm excited to watch. Like I saw some big prize numbers pop up on the screen.
What? 200 million or something?
200 million total in the boxes. But like some of the prize boxes they were opening were like $2.5 or $3.5 million. But like, is that split amongst the team? Like, I don't know. I don't understand enough about it yet to know how excited I am about it.
Yeah. I don't know the game mechanics, but I'll probably end up watching.
Yeah. I'm going to watch for sure. Because you can see even like the promos are like mostly Rob running around and cheering and stuff. So he definitely has some good moments. So we have to watch it.
Yep. I'm into it. Well, Tyson, I appreciate you so much. Thank you this was fun. You're always fun to have on. Please come back if you want to talk about the traders. Hopefully Parv, you know, goes far. I'd like to see her go far.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. For the listeners, obviously, please like and subscribe. I think I should be having exit interviews of some sort. We'll see. If not, every week I'll be back to recap. So stay tuned for that.